where we feature entrepreneurs who have participated in our guest blog series, ShareYourStories.online. Today, we'd like to introduce you to John Williams, who's an architectural designer. He's been in business for 48 years. He has a master's in architecture, currently runs a boutique custom residential firm, and has received many awards and accolades from his peers and industry professionals. Welcome, John.
Hi, Trish. How are you?
I'm great. And yourself?
I'm super. You're getting through this COVID thing all right?
Absolutely. You know, I have to say, I am so absolutely thrilled that you have an opportunity to spend some time with us today, because it's really quite an honor to have someone who has been in business for the number of years that you have and still have the energy and vitality to move forward. So tell us a little bit about where you get your inspiration.
I don't know. It's the gray hair and the lines on my face should tell you how long I've been in business. But I guess the place the inspiration really comes from is I really, really love what I do. When 5 o'clock comes in the morning, I'm up and I can't wait to get started. And it's been that way for almost 50 years. And so the whole joy of designing homes just sort of eclipses everything else in my life.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you talk a little bit about passion for what you do, because I know that when I was doing some research on some folks then and your peers, or what you may consider to be your competition in the industry, a lot of them don't have the commitment to education that you made way back in your career quite some time ago. Tell us a little bit about getting your master's in architecture.
Well, I didn't get my master's until later on back in, well, it seems like just the other day, but it was 1983. I had graduated in 69 and then with undergraduate degrees in 72. And then I went back to get my master's in 83, just because lifelong learning is really so important. I guess there's a bit of a mentorship there from Robert Stern's office in New York, where they really, really work hard on lifelong learning for all of their technologists and architects that work in their business in New York City. So I've always felt that's so important. There's so much to learn. You know, when you think about houses and architecture, everything that God didn't create on this earth, architects or designers or engineers have. And so there's an awful lot to learn. You don't actually get very good in this industry or talented until you're probably past your 50s. And so I think I've done my best work between the ages of 50 and, we'll say, 74. Those are years where you've made lots of mistakes and you keep learning and you learn new things and you speak to new peers and work with them and get along and collaborate with other people in your industry. And by doing all those things, you learn. And eventually you get pretty good at this.
Well, you know, I noticed in your website that you're a member of an organization that's actually out of New York City. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the ICAA and what that means to you and your career.
Well, the ICAA is the Institute of Classical Architecture and Arts. It's the main body that I belong to is in Manhattan, New York City. And it really, really promotes the classical designs and the classical education of years gone past. And so by introducing young students to that form of architecture, they learn much, much stronger than they would have just strictly by going to school of architecture in their city or province or state. So it's important that they no longer teach that stuff. So it's very important that we still teach it. And we have great online programs, and we're always working hard. And some of the best architects in the nation are members of that, and they give of their time and their expertise to teach younger people about the classical elements of architecture.
Well, I'm assuming that, you know, when you take a look at Greek mythology and Roman architecture, you know, that stuff has been around for thousands of years. So I would venture to guess that the classics are sort of the foundational elements for everything that we see today.
Absolutely. You know, there's an old saying, everything has been done in architecture at least once. Mm-hmm. And that's true. And what architects are required to do today is to build on that past and that history and reuse a lot of the educational elements that were taught over the years from the time of the Greeks and Romans and institute new elements within that sort of house of design that allows us to use buildings and live the way we live today. I've been working on something fairly interesting lately, and it's the amount of change that has gone in the industry architecturally in the last 20 years is enormous.
So, well, you know, I saw an article, and I won't mention the newspaper, it was quite some time ago, but they were calling you a maverick in the industry and giving you credit, saying that you were the very first architect in North America who ever converted a historical home into what we would now call condos. And you received quite a prestigious award for that endeavor. So tell us a little bit about that experience, because I understood all of that took place in the 70s.
Well, I did that not so much as an architect or a designer. I did that as a developer. I had a number of partners, and we looked at a historical building that came onto the market, and we thought, this is an absolutely gorgeous building. How can we save it? We severed off some lands that we built on. But how do we save the old building? And so we came up with the idea of creating a condominium corporation for only five suites, which was really ahead of its time because the cost to do that were immense on a per unit basis. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be just a beautiful experience, lots of fun to work on, learned a lot. For instance, you know, if you're trying to put a fan in a bathroom in a 3-foot thick piece of stone, it takes a little bit more than $50. It's a lot of work. Yeah. And that was sort of part and parcel of learning that part of the industry. And we were very fortunate. We were given a Lieutenant Governor's General Award for that building at the time.
Well, congratulations for that, because there's not many folks in your industry who have those kinds of accolades to their name.
There's lots of
yeah, well, you know, that's very true, but the good ones make the better ones better, right?
That's correct.
I wanted to just quickly segue into a brand new project. I happened to pick up a local magazine a little while ago, and I saw that you had done a rather contemporary home, actually not too far from where you won the Lieutenant Governor's Award quite some time ago. So tell us a little bit about sort of the future of your business and where you see your efforts moving in sort of the next 5 to 10 years of your career.
Well, as I said earlier, things are always changing in this industry. Trying to stay current with it is very, very hard for an old guy like me because we sort of get set in our ways as we get a little long in the tooth. But, of course, the world is changing technologically and the style of housing is starting to change. Unfortunately, a lot of the, I would call it, sort of pseudo-contemporary stuff that is being done today is being done by draftsmen and technologists that really don't have a grasp of what good classical design elements are that should be brought over into contemporary or modern architecture. And so I see our firm starting to lean that direction to try to create buildings and homes that are far, far superior to what you normally see on the sort of builder residential market today, which a lot of those houses tend to lack what I would call architectural good manners within the communities they build in.
Well, a little bird told me that, you know, you've been quite busy throughout the last few weeks that we found ourselves in voluntary isolation and, you know, social distancing, and that you have a project that you are intend to launch for the fall season. Are you able to tell us a little bit about that?
For sure. This actually grows out of something I heard on one of your podcasts. There was an article, I think, and you said something to the effect that when a door closes, hang on because a window will open. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the door closed on almost all of our businesses with COVID. And consequently, everybody's working remotely from home. But that opened a window for me. It allows me to work quietly 8 or 10 hours a day, some days 12 hours a day, six, 7 days a week for the last 10 weeks or so. And what I've done is I'm working on a new book of exclusive plans that are very traditional plans in so much as they have a lot of, the houses have a lot of, shall we say, poetry and sort of romance to them. And yet they are sort of plans, open design type plans that would be good in today's builder market all across North America. So what I wanted to do was create an exclusive book of 10 of those houses. And I'm on house number 9 in the 9th week of this. I've been able to do one a week. And I've got one to go, and then we can start to organize to publish the book, which I'm really excited about. Some of the designs I think are lovely, and people are going to really enjoy them. And those will be sold and also distributed over one of our websites.
Perfect. Yeah. So, you know, one of the ways in which we end each blog is we talk about three words of advice. And your three words of advice when you participated in the guest blog were listen to your customer. So tell us a little bit about, I mean, certainly with 48 years of experience under your belt, you've certainly been listening to your customer, because in today's day and age, there's not many businesses that stand that test of time. So just tell us a little bit about how listening to your customer has helped you evolve and grow.
Yeah, that's really an important item. And it took me a lot of years to learn that little element of the business. You know, architects, when you start out, you tend to think you're going to be the next Frank Gehry and design the greatest building and Billabong and on and on and on. And you tend to forget that every day your client has a different idea what he may need or she may need. And so it's up to you to listen to them as closely as you can, draw out of them their dream, and then my job, or any architect's job, is to translate that dream into some form of a reality that can then be built by a builder. And, you know, a long time ago, someone said to me, you know, humans require order, but they also want variety, otherwise they get bored. And so the key to giving them order and variety is great architecture that basically gives you romance and poetry when you come home from being out on the town or home from work. When you come to that house and you pull in and you get up and walk into your favorite room, you are full of romance and poetry. And that is the architect's job. You have to get really, really into the person that you're working with to understand what they find romantic. And that's what you create.
Well, thank you very much, Don. I really want to thank you for spending some time with us today, because I think the advice that you've given, not only to seasoned entrepreneurs, but to people who may be starting on a new venture, is very helpful. And to you, the listening audience, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us. I hope we've had an opportunity to introduce you to the person behind the logo in today's edition of Keeping It Real. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thanks to all my clients out there and future clients, we hope. Take care.
Thank you. Now.